May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Whenever I read this gospel passage that is appointed for this day, I'm struck by the image of the women's fearful, dark, pain-filled journey up the hillside to the place where they had seen Jesus' body laid in the tomb. I'm equally struck by the courage, the determination, and the love that compelled them to creep through the darkness to perform this final act of love for their dear friend and teacher. These women had to make peace not only with the death of this dear beloved friend, but with the death of his claims to be the one who would bring reconciliation and wholeness to the world. They had extraordinary reason to grieve deeply, and they needed somehow to make peace with the death of this dream of the promised Messiah. And I see them in my mind's eye, grasping at one another as they stumble along, each clutching some necessary item for their task, one carrying the linen wrappings, another for the oil for cleaning and anointing the body. This task of preparing bodies for burial was not unusual in that time, so they must have had a pretty clear idea of what they were heading for. It can be challenging for us to put ourselves in just that emotional place because we are so far removed from that intimate connection with death. The closest I can come is a memory from the days before my sister's funeral. I call this when we were the Marys. The memory is this. My mother and my other sister and I were in the ladies' department at JCPenney's trying to decide on an outfit to take to the funeral home for them to dress Kathy in for her burial. Like the Marys and Salome in our gospel reading today, we were focused completely on this final task of love. Like the Marys and Salome at the empty tomb, we received a resurrection word at Kathy's funeral. Unlike the Marys and Salome, that word of resurrection did not terrify us, because for us, knowing the reality of resurrection and the hope of eternal life, because we know the story from the beginning all the way through the end, for us, this word of resurrection was a word of comfort and consolation. But that was not the case for the Marys and Salome. So they went out and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The resurrection didn't make sense to them yet. That's why terror and amazement are the primary emotions here. The good news of this story seems to totally escape those first witnesses. The message, the resurrection message that Mary and the Salomes that Mary's and Salome received, is that the dream of the kingdom of heaven is alive, that the reign of God begun in the life and ministry of Jesus continues decisively in his resurrection. And yet, it is frightening to these first witnesses. The women who come to the tomb expect to be paying their respects to the recently deceased loved one by anointing his body. Yet none of the normal patterns of life and death hold on this early morning. The tomb is open. The tomb is empty. And the women are greeted by a young man in a white robe. Of Jesus himself, they see absolutely no trace. No linen wrappings, as in the Gospel of John. Simply an empty tomb and the announcement that Jesus of Nazareth has been raised. Nothing is as they expected. What they find is totally beyond their experience or the experience of anyone else. So they flee in terror and amazement. Terror and amazement are words that describes one's response to an immediate revelation of God, no matter how it happens. It is God who has raised Jesus. It is God who has altered the rules of their known world forever. And in the face of such an encounter with God, silence is not a failed or inadequate response. Silence is a wholly appropriate response, because the women's silence creates a space for the voice and the presence of God to resound. I know that many of you are waiting for me to get to the joyful exuberance of resurrection proclamation, but I think it's important for us to be like the women and to be like Mark, who tells this story, and to stand in hushed awe at the cosmic power of God to take away death's sting forever. Let that sink in. The power of resurrection proclamation is that death has been overcome. Resurrection is personal. It matters when we face death, whether it's our own death or the death of someone we love. It matters to each one of us that life is not ended in death. It is changed. And this is why we say, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. There are two Easter liturgies in the Book of Common Prayer. One is the proper liturgy for the Easter Vigil, which we observed last night with great joy. The other Easter liturgy is our burial rite. The relationship between Easter and the death of the body is profound and awe-inspiring. I am resurrection and life, says the Lord. Whoever has faith in me shall have life even though he die. And everyone who has life and has committed himself to me in faith shall not die forever. And this is why we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We are mortal, formed of the earth, and to earth we shall return. For so you did ordain when you created me, saying, You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Yet all of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Life is ours forever, my brothers and sisters. To paraphrase one of my favorite Easter hymns, For the light has come once more, and the strength of death is broken. Now our songs of joy outpour. Ended now the night of sorrow. Love has brought the blessed morning. Let your alleluias rise. And of course, in conquering death and sin, Jesus has also restored us to life abundant here and now. Our trials and tribulations, our brokenness, our pain are not banished, but they are infused with God's presence, and God works redemption in them and through them. And our daily struggles are made bearable or they are borne for us by our brothers and sisters in the risen Lord. And we come here each Sunday to celebrate this community of love, each little Easter. And here the kingdom of God is real and present, and the dream of life everlasting is real and available. Christ has opened paradise. And that is why we celebrate this feast of the resurrection of our Lord. And that is why we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
So this Easter, this entire Easter tide, 50 more days, let your Alleluias rise.